Greetings in Jesus' name. In many ways, it's a privilege to be here. And as was already alluded to by my dad, it's been years as well since we were here. The disclaimer right off is that I don't have many answers for the topic tonight, but we're going to use God's word and glean what we can. Maintaining the vision of brotherhood assistance. I may look old, but I'm not very old. But we'll see what God's word has for us and a few other things. So when we think about maintaining, we maintain something we already have. So I suppose you all feel, at least your committee feels, that you have brotherhood assistance here. It's just a matter of maintaining it. And that's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing if it's going here well. And we have a vision for it, apparently, which is also very good. I'm a strong supporter of both, the vision for it and the practicing of it. Now, maintaining suggests we have something that needs upkeep, and who of us doesn't have something in our lives that needs to be maintained or needs some upkeep, need to preserve it? We all have that. Is there anything in this world that is self-sustaining or self-preserving? I don't think a lot of complex thoughts, so I haven't thought through that one well enough, but it's a question I have. I don't know if there is anything in this world, in the physical world around us, that's self-sustaining or self-preserving. Everything needs maintenance. So is there any area in your life that doesn't need preservation or upkeep? Well, no. We all need that. So we're going to talk about maintaining the vision of brotherhood assistance. Now, we're going to spend a little time talking about maintaining, and I think somewhere we're going to talk about the vision, and we're going to talk about the brotherhood. I'm not sure how much we're going to talk about the assistance part, because I believe that you're going to hear it come out, but I believe that brotherhood is the main lack we have today. I don't know if we have brotherhood the way God intended for it to be. And so, obviously, other things are going to lack in that, the assistance part. But we're going to try and do what we can. And we're only going to be brushing the surface of many things about this. And again, you won't hear anything new. So we maintain, number one, it says maintaining the vision. So we need to maintain with vision. So if you don't have a vision for your 2002 Acura, whatever you had, Stan, if you didn't have a vision for that thing and where it was going to go, you wouldn't maintain it. You got to have a vision for it. So you need to maintain something because you have a vision for it. And vision is our mental view of something or our goals that we have for it. So a few months ago, Brother Feener contacted me, and so it was part of my goal to be here tonight because I promised to do that, so I marked the date. And I perceived what was needed, so I had the vision. I understood what was needed to maintain this goal, and I know that's very simple. So tomorrow, if you tell your wife I'm going to be home by 5 o'clock, you're going to make choices. If that's your vision, that's your goal, you're going to make choices throughout the day that, no, I'm going to have to just let jumping into that part of the project until Tuesday because I've told my wife I'm going to be home at 5. You're going to alter, and so your day's going to be surrounded with that. You know, business visions are oftentimes written down. They have a 5-year and a 10-year goal or vision for business. But that doesn't do any good if it just gets shelved or put in the file. No, periodically it has to be brought out and looked at again. Okay, oh, this is where we want to be. Okay, we got to adjust this if we're going to be here in 10 years. Another example, about 20 years ago, our small family at that point spent about 9 days in Honduras. I was on the mission board, and it was one of the things the mission board was expected to go to Honduras, if at all possible. So we made a little trip to Honduras. And I was affected personally by visiting a foreign country. And so I made this little goal as we were traveling home that someday I'm going to take my family to a developing country. Because of what it did for me, I want them to have the opportunity to have their lives affected by it, if possible. I want to do that if there's a way possible to do it. So it was in late 2022 whole 16 years later, I came to the realization that my earlier goal and vision, time was running out. I had not kept it in front of me, and we had a daughter that was courting, and it looked like wedding bells were definitely in the future. And if this was going to happen, I had to get on with it and make this happen. If I was going to stay true to my earlier vision, I need to do that, which we did. So you mean need to maintain something because you have a vision, you have a goal for it. Number two, maintain by understanding the vision or a goal. Maybe it sounds too similar. But we need to understand what our vision and goal is. So what is Brotherhood Assistance? We're going to try and answer that question in the next 2 points, maybe. Why don't we turn to Mark chapter 3? We don't have a lot of scripture we're going to turn to tonight. What is Brotherhood Assistance? Well, we need to define what brotherhood is, first of all. And I'd like us to see where I believe real Christian brotherhood was instituted, right here. Mark chapter 3. The verses do not need much explaining at all. 31 to 35. There came then his brethren and his mother, he's talking about Jesus, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about him, and he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. And I picture in my mind that he looked at them and says, Well, right here, this is my mother and my brethren, right here. Not the one standing without. Verse 35, For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Right there we have Christian brotherhood. It's not flesh and blood that makes brotherhood. In some senses, obviously it does. In the physical realm, it does. But the brotherhood that we're talking about tonight, that we're thinking about tonight, is those that do the will of God. Those are the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, and we are of each other. So we become part of the brotherhood when we allow Jesus to be Lord of our life and do the will of our Father. So Jesus is the author of true brotherhood, and he acknowledged, you see right here in the story, he acknowledged physical and spiritual brotherhood and other places throughout his time here on earth. But he makes it clear that the blood of spiritual family relationships run stronger than natural family relationships. And there is confusion and havoc where the separation is not clear. Where someone is caught in a quandary is, am I loyal to my brotherhood in Jesus Christ, or am I going to be loyal to flesh and blood? And that makes for trouble. Allegiance to the body of Christ must be number one. And Jesus is saying that we have a special relationship with him if we do the will of his Father. He says, you are my mother, my brother, and my sister. We have a special relationship with him. So for the sake of what we're considering tonight, we're going to narrow it down to this congregation. Now, we can look at this as a very broad, you know, a broad brotherhood as of all the followers of Jesus Christ, but we'll probably narrow it down to thinking more about our congregation and maybe a little broader to a conference, but this is about our congregation. So just remember, brotherhood equals family. And we are one, when we are one of the family of Jesus Christ, we are part of the body of Christ. And so I want to read out of 1 Corinthians 12, familiar verses about the body. But because we are one of the family of Jesus Christ, then we are now part of the body of Christ. And this, again, this lays it out very clearly. Verse 12 talks about the physical body when it gets started, but then it goes into, later on, it goes into talking about towards the end. We're going to read verses 12 to 27, I believe. 1 Corinthians 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So you can read down through there thinking about the physical body as he's pointing it out, but the whole time you should be thinking about the spiritual body of Christ. And so this passage brings into our minds and hearts the fact that, number one, we are members of the body of Christ. We are a piece of it, a part of it. You are not the body of Christ, but you are a part of it. You help make up the whole. And number two, it tells us that all the members are important and all members are needed, regardless of gifts. And if we'd read on to the next few verses, it talks about apostles and teachers and prophets. It talks about different gifts, but we are all, every member, regardless of your capability or incapability, you still belong. You're still part of the body of Christ. Number three, each member has the same privilege in the body. We have that here. And then number four, each member makes a contribution. Verse 27 tells us, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. That word particular means that you have a division or you're a shareholder. It might be another way for us to think of it. You are a shareholder in the body of Christ. Now, years ago, we used to go swimming in my uncle's dirty pond, and we would come home. It seemed like, invariably, there'd be, we called them bloodsuckers. You'd have a leech on your leg somewhere. And you know, what was that thing there for? It was there for the goods. It was there for one reason, and that was to eat off of you. These verses tell us that the body of Christ does not have a leech. There are needy members, yes, but those members will still be an asset in their own way if they are doing the will of the Father, as we read back in Mark 3. They will be an asset in their own way to the body. Since true Christians are part of the body of Christ, and it says the members which are feeble are necessary, our care should be for each other. Our care needs to be for each other. John 13:35 says this, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. That is the evidence. That's the word that goes out. The word, in quotes. That's what is visible to those around us. Say, oh, she is part of the body of Christ. Because I know, I can see, they love each other. So number two, we were back, where were we? Maintaining by understanding vision or goal. So we wanted to look at what is brotherhood, and then we kind of breezed over that. So what is meant by assistance? So assistance, as we think of it many times, is it's the help that's given when there's a physical need. And we mainly view it as a financial, when we think of it as in the title. But it's bigger than the money that the deacon distributes. And it is more than just the deacon's responsibility. I'm not here preaching strictly at Brother Brendel and Brother Galen. This is not geared directly toward them. What we're considering tonight is a package. And it's very unlikely that it's possible. It's very unlikely to have a brotherhood without the assistance part, or to have assistance without the brotherhood part. They go together. They will go together. You can't really have one truly one without the other. And we need to maintain the Bible way of brotherhood assistance. And I'll read you some verses because I don't want to turn to too many. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Again, familiar verses, brethren. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So here we see that the way of love is to bear with spiritual and emotional. If you study those verses, especially verse 1, it's talking about spiritual and emotional weights and faults. And we are called to consider yourself, first of all, but then you're supposed to help bear, verse 2 says. And I believe that if this is right teaching or the correct teaching for emotional and spiritual faults and needs, the physical has to fit into it as well. I don't believe God would have a concept be taught that didn't apply to all areas of our life. Now, back to main point number 3. I didn't learn how to do an outline. But main point number 3, our last point, we were under maintaining by vision and goal. Now we're going to think a little bit about maintaining by recognizing threats and dealing with them. This is probably where we'll spend the most of our time when we think about recognizing threats and dealing with them. That's the way we can maintain something. I took my truck to the mechanic last week because I could change the oil, but I'm not real good at it. And he needs work, and I want to support him. So I took it to get oil change, and he rotates the tires. And I said, am I seeing right? These tires were all the same, but the rear tires have less tread. He said, yes, that's what you're seeing, because the truck has too much torque. And I said, well, I go easy on the throttle. He said, it doesn't matter. The back end is light. It wears the rear tires down. So the threat is I'm going to wear those back tires down before the front tires are going to be worn. So he will rotate them. But we're maintaining that truck because we're recognizing what's going on. He also may say you have 3:30 seconds left on the brake pads. So let's try and look at a few threats. And possibly I'm going to maybe suggest how we can try and deal with some of them. The biggest threat, or the number one threat I have, is independence. And I believe the Bible clearly teaches interdependence, where we depend on one another. Well, we just get done reading those verses in Galatians, bear ye one another's burdens. That's depending on each other. But society has been moving for many years towards doing it by myself and taking care of this thing when I feel like it. We are being force-fed independence. That's what's around us. That's what we see. And I know these are pet words, but affluence and technology has affected so many areas of our lives, and brotherhood assistance is just one of the many. Brotherhood has been lost, or I should say, is in threat of being lost through lack of community. I hope I'm saying that right. I'll try to explain to you what I mean. I'm suggesting that 100 years ago, people leaned on each other because they didn't have much else. Far more than today. Now, none of us here lived back 100 years ago. Many of us that have this color hair and all white know people or have talked to people that lived 100 years ago. They're not with us anymore. But you had a little connection to what life was like a number of years before the onset of the Great Depression. They leaned on each other because they didn't have another option. And you don't even have to go back 100 years for that. To a time when people, when there was more what I'm going to call community, more leaning on each other and helping each other. The only way they had a way out of from leaning on each other is if they were very wealthy, and there was not as many of that as there is today. They helped in whatever way they could. They may have shared clothing, shared food, got extra things out of the garden. I'm not saying this none of this happens today, but I think things are in very threatened. They shared crops, cattle. They helped each other at hay baling time. Back when they used to bale hay bales and put them up in a hay mow. Or even before that, when they used the hay forks. They helped each other at harvest time. The barn got built, or the house got built, with the community all together, helping each other. The neighbors and the church folks were working together. The playing field, I believe, the playing field was more level back then than it is today. Today, there are brothers that carry the proverbial lunchbox to work. And there are multimillionaires all in the same building. And I'm not here to say that one is right and the other is wrong. That's not what I'm saying. It just really adds additional challenge to making brotherhood, to having community and having brotherhood like I believe God wants us to have it. I have not traveled abroad that much, but I have enough to have seen that as soon as you take wealth and affluence out of the equation, you're left with a group of people that leans on each other far more than Americans do. I know there's other wealthy European countries, but you go to South Africa, in the poor villages, they're helping each other. They're leaning on each other. In Bangladesh, I spent a few days in Bangladesh not real long ago, and it's, where do we find work? Oh, they're picking watermelons now. We can go there and help pick watermelons. That way we can get enough of money to buy some food. We share rice. We help each other maintain the house. When affluence is taken out of the equation, the people lean on each other. Now, there may be more, but I'm telling you what I think. Technology in general has been a threat as well. Even the automobile and the telephone, as old as it is, made independence more achievable. You can run and do this yourself. Well, I can run to town and grab this. We'll go to Lowe's and grab 4 2x4s rather than see if the neighbor has any laying around. And I'm not suggesting that it's wrong to do that. I'm just saying technology has helped us to just close our eyes to the neighbors or the people beside us or the church brother because we can take care of our own needs very easily. You might also be saying that it's easier to support family and brotherhood. And it can be. But it's also part of what this age is bent on, and that is a life of more convenience and ease. Brotherhood was never meant to be an easy road. And we're not going to turn to it, but Apostle Paul lamented in a letter that he wrote, I forget who it was to even, I didn't write it down, that he lamented that he was just yearning to come see him face to face. Even the primitive form of writing a letter to stay in contact felt like just another way of contacting and not the real way that Apostle Paul wanted to talk to these people. Modern technology is focused on having us stay connected without the effort or sacrifice. And that's militating against the Bible way of talking to each other and communing together and fellowshipping together. We're in a world that uses what I'm going to call cyber relationships, electronic relationships, and we're not immune to it. And I believe there are okay and correct times to do that. And our communication technology is not all bad, but it's a serious threat, I believe, to what is lasting and strengthening in brotherhood. When there is a relationship that needs to be built, please don't do it over WhatsApp or over text message. Get in your modern convenience of a vehicle and make the trip, drive there, and get face to face and talk to somebody. That's the right way, the best way. Yes, it takes more time, but it's the most fulfilling way of helping to build relationships. There's so many things around us that are calling for our attention. And I believe many of them are good things. A lot of them are good things. But again, because of affluence and modern technology or modern technological advancement, we're so busy running here and there. And like I said, many times for good reason, sometimes selfishly, we're so busy doing that that we have so little time to help lift up the hands that hang down and support the feeble knees because we're too busy doing other good things. You know, you might have a cabin weekend with the family. Is that wrong? Not necessarily. We fly to another state to attend a funeral. Is that wrong? No, not necessarily. You go to Atlanta, Georgia for a business expo. Is that wrong? Well, could be, but not necessarily. And the list goes on that we get so involved, I believe, and we're so threatened to get involved in things so deeply that we do not have the time. We just get in such a serious time crunch to go and lift up the hands hang down, cut up the tree that fell over. You just name it. It just really cuts into our schedule. We'd rather give them $100 towards getting the local character out to cut it up and haul it off the firewood. Another threat that independence brings to brotherhood, I believe, and again, this is probably, you're hearing a little bit of my personal opinion, but I believe another threat that independence brings to brotherhood is that we do not use brotherhood to meet our spiritual and emotional needs like we should. We're in a world that lifts up professionals, and it is affecting us. We feel like we need professionals in a certain field in order to get the help that's needed. And I don't believe that that is always the best way. I'll let that go for now. So independence is a threat we looked at. Just briefly touch on two others. And that is another threat is insurance. And insurance uses the world's method and not God's. I think it's a very obvious point. And there are many types of insurance that are needed to exist in America today. Construction crews need liability. You need commercial insurance on your big rig. There's so many places where it's needed, and that's not what I'm talking about. We need to comply with the laws of the land. But I believe when we're voluntarily going out and taking up insurance, that is really threatening brotherhood. Number one, we're not going to turn there. 2 Corinthians 6. Using insurance places us into an unequal yoke. And it says, the Bible tells us that it is a very dangerous place to be. We cannot be in the place where the yoke is unequal. You're having one that's pulling worldward, and you say you're pulling Godward, and it does not work. They cannot work together. Another thing that happens with insurance is we're tempted to trust in insurance and not in God. And I know it's Old Testament, but I know you may remember Isaiah 31 pronounces a woe on the people that would go down to Egypt for help, and they trust in horses and chariots because they're mighty. But he says, woe to you, you're not trusting in the living God. And that is what I'm tempted to do, even with the insurance that I have to take up for a commercial building. That can be a temptation to say, well, we got this huge policy. If something ever happens, we're covered. And that's exactly what the insurance industry wants. They want you to trust in them, and they want your thousands of dollars annually. And God suffers because of it, because we take our focus away from him. The world says, beef up your policy just in case you experience a loss. That way you're covered. I know I said this already, but anytime we voluntarily take out an insurance policy, we are getting ourselves up to turning our confidence away from God and towards the world's methods. I'll let insurance for now. Another threat is Social Security. I'm not going to say a lot about that, But I think we need to be real careful about linking up with Social Security if you have a way out, because that militates against true brotherhood. Main point number four, we need to maintain by practice. So we looked at the threats, a few of the threats, there are many more. We need to maintain by practice. And so what are God's people supposed to do? Well, I know this for sure, that the world never chooses God's way. The world does not choose God's way. The world chooses what benefits itself and usually what makes sense. But even sometimes what the world does doesn't make sense. So we need to practice brotherhood. I'm not saying the assistance part. I'm saying practicing brotherhood. Remember, our allegiance is number one right here. It has to be right here. This is family. This is my brothers and sisters. This is the body of Christ. So we practice brotherhood. Don't miss a church service or a function. Practice giving so that assistance is achievable by your congregation, by your deacon. Practice by changing lifestyle. Change lifestyle by understanding your goal. If it's not your goal to live differently, you're never going to live differently. Your lifestyle will never change if it's not your goal to live differently. So how can you change? Well, first of all, probably the number one thing, again, we're scratching just barely the dust of this, but first of all, you must remember that everything that you have is God's. You're just a steward of what you have. And so be real cautious about what you do, what you spend, and what you do on your lifestyle, because it's not your lifestyle. You're not spending your money on your lifestyle. You're just a caretaker. I'm just a caretaker. And I need to be a responsible caretaker, because one day there's going to be a reaping. And the Lord is going to look at the steward and say, how did you do? And you will have to give a report. You will have to display what you did with those talents. So we need to be a steward, but we also need to make choices for change. So where is your vision? What is your vision? Make choices based on your vision. If you have a vision for change, a vision for doing something different, make choices based on that. So now, just a few brief moments on brotherhood assistance. So does brotherhood assistance work? Have you ever seen brotherhood assistance be inadequate? Is the Lord's hand waxed short? I'm promoting brotherhood, and brotherhood assistance as being God's way. So has the Lord's hand ever waxed short? Do you know of anyone that got incarcerated because they were unable to afford the hospital bill? Now, I know I'm bringing up a few ridiculous questions, but just think about it. Has the Lord's hand ever been waxed short? Did the bank ever foreclose on a property because the church was unable to help rebuild and repay the house after the fire? There may be answers that do not support my questions the way I want you to hear them, but I don't know of them. I don't know of a case where the bank foreclosed on a property because there was no church, because the church that was there did not pull up to the plate. Do you know of a Christian retiree that died because he didn't have enough Social Security to collect in order to survive, and so he died? Listen, tonight, God's ways always work. God's way always works. Tonight, you need to be convinced of that. You need to be convinced that God's way always works, or you will become part, or you will just be part of a growing group of people that are no longer really trusting God to supply their needs. Besides, God at times does allow chastisement in the lives of his children. We could read about that in Hebrews, I believe it is, where he brings chastisement to his children. And so I ask the question, what goes on in the mind of the Heavenly Father if one of his children, I want to say that carefully, has taken out this wonderful insurance policy to take care of the need that he has allowed into their lives. What does he think if we reach out to the world to provide for us, to take care of what he has allowed as chastisement into our lives, individually or as a congregation? I don't know if I want to know what he would say about that, but I believe I know. So how do we keep the vision alive? I never learned a foreign language, but I know some of you here have. And I'm told, just like learning another language, you use it or you lose it. And if we are not practicing brotherhood and brotherhood assistance, we're well on the way to losing it, and it will be lost. We need to understand the vision. We need to understand the vision. You need to understand the goal of brotherhood and brotherhood assistance and depart from the counterfeit and make sure we're practicing it. Again, just recapping brotherhood assistance. Brotherhood begins with a love for and a trust in the Heavenly Father. If your God's not big enough, then you will not trust in him. If you don't believe that he is big enough to help you, you won't trust in him. You will not be part of his family. How do we keep it alive? It continues by love in the brotherhood, where we're not seeking our own, but we're seeking our brother and our sister's well-being. And God does bless those who follow his way. I want to give you that final encouragement and challenge. And for the final two verses, I want to read Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. You maybe could quote them. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. May God bless you.